Hello, and welcome to Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles. It wasn't until college that I began to learn histories of the people who were my neighbors and ancestors. The first lesson came from 45 minutes from my childhood home when I learned of the Pennsylvania Homestead Strike of 1892. Steelworkers refused to accept cut in wages and threats to unionizing. The Pinkertons, a mercenary quote unquote detective agency, was enlisted to break up the strike. Violence ensued, leaving dead on both sides. At the time of my childhood, Western Pennsylvania was steel country. I found it shocking that the history so close to home was buried. It made me curious to find out what was being purposefully kept from me, from all of us. So today I seek voices and stories that need to be told and need to be heard. Stories of our collective histories that we may unravel painful truths and find peace. My guest today is Iris Roan. Iris is a Sauk and Fox artist and an enrolled tribal member of the Sauk and Fox Nation. Her Sauk name is Wee Pe Kwee, or Rolls in the Ashes, and she is a member of the Bear Clan. She resides here, and her artwork is inspired by the Great Lakes region, the homelands of her people. She's a bead worker, moccasin maker, ribbon worker, and Sauk language speaker. She follows a familial line of artists and culture keepers before her. Her work incorporates her experience as a disabled woman and utilizes the Sauk native language. Welcome, Iris.
Thank you, Dina.
Please introduce yourself.
Wepekwi nitashis nesakiwe oni nemashitemanemo asakiweyan oni nemakwis. Nemeshometh, Principal Chief Amos Black Netochik, oni nokometh Marjorie Black Rond getotha bear that keeps walking Netochik. My name is Rolls in the Ashes. I am a Sauk and I am proud to be Sauk. I am a member of the Bear Clan and a member of the Skosha Moiety. I have shared with you my tribal nation, my tribal clan, and who I descend from. I am an enrolled tribal member of the Sac and Fox Nation of Oklahoma. I descend from past Principal Chief Amos Black, my great grandfather, and I am the granddaughter of Marjorie Black Roan, or Bear That Keeps Walking, who was my first cultural mentor. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so grateful. When we first met and you started to tell me your story, I just knew this was a, it's not your just your story, the story of your people. And it was so important because it was really unfamiliar to me. And I'm very grateful. So I'd love you to begin with your tribe and the course of the history that led you to Oklahoma.
Thank you. My tribe are the Sauk people, otherwise known as Sauki, or long version Sakiwaki. But we have been referred to by the US as Sauk, which is just a shortened version of our native name, which translates to the Yellow Earth people or the people coming forth from the outlet. My people originate from Canada, Michigan, Illinois, and even as far as here, Wisconsin. So we consider all of that land to be the homelands, with our primary homeland in Illinois. And we had a Sauk village, which was called Sauconuck, and that's very a sacred place to us, and it will come into play later as we discuss the what is referred to as the Battle of Bad Axe, which my people refer to as the massacre at Bad Axe.
Yeah, I really appreciated that you gave me links to read about, and you did mention that in the Viroqua Library, a historical society, I guess it is, that there's a lot of firsthand accounts and things that people who might want to pursue and learn a little bit more can learn about your people. Do you want to talk about, go right into that, the massacre? I mean, what led to it? Because I think that's critically important.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the reasons I started by sharing our homelands is that's what it's all about. What we're looking at here is land grab, and it's like what we see with Palestine, and I think that's another reason that this story just feels so important right now. Not only has it been important since its occurrence, but we're at a crucial time where we can understand settler colonialism and the impacts of it, and how we can change how we act in this world. So, Sakanak, this was what it was all about for Black Hawk. And forgive me, I'm not completely educated on how to pronounce his Sauk name, but I will attempt Makataimishi Kiakiak, or Black Sparrow Hawk. He was a resistance leader. He was not only a leader, but that's how we view him, as somebody that was willing to fight for his people for survival. And really, it's about, this is a story of survival as much as it's a tragic story. It's about a willingness to persevere in the face of brutality. And that is what I would like people to understand about Black Hawk. We see his name everywhere in Wisconsin. When I first moved to Viroqua, I saw it everywhere. You have shops, of course, owned by descendants of settlers with Black Hawk's name. And that's what we often see with colonialism, is sort of this theft of our image, our bravery, courage, without the story, without the pain. So if there's anything to take away that I want people who don't know anything of this story, hopefully they can just know from a Sauk perspective whose name they are wearing. When they're wearing shirts, you know, when they're saying they're proud of this heritage, to know what that really means, what that comes from.
Right. And that's what was so profound in the things that I studied that you sent me. And it also impacted me a lot when we spoke, because you right away brought up Palestine. And of course, you know, there's now Lebanon, and of course there's, you know, Ukraine. There's so many places in the world where people are fighting and killing over resources, and then using some excuse about it, right? So that the original village was in what we call Illinois, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And my understanding now, as I saw the video that I will encourage people to, we'll link to it on my podcast, but it's now a PGA golf course.
Correct. Yeah.
And so as a, I know, and for many people, my people, the burial sites are very sacred. You know, everybody goes, different cultures have different understandings, but they're sacred. They're places where you go to remember those who walked before you, to honor those who, because of them, you're here. And to see the, not, you know, the arrogance, I think, of that, that not only was the land stolen, because it was. I mean, I guess people say, well, there were treaties, but you could maybe address that, because what I learned about the treaties were they were not treaties at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So without going into that too much, and not needing to, I guess, go into like the detail, what takes so long there, and not being a historian, I don't want to, but definitely I know Black Hawk believed that this was a false treaty that sold away our homelands in Sakanak. And that's part of why he resisted. And I think that story of a false treaty is just repeated with every tribal nation in the United Turtle Island state. So I don't know that that part is unique. And there's so many tellings of how land was acquired, and then there's going to be the native remembrance of that story. And what our people know is that was false.
Right. And even when we spoke about it, and it's called the Black Hawk Wars, and you were like, no, we think of it as a massacre, which in fact, when they drove the women and children and men to the river, I mean, that was also a very powerful telling to have the descendants on the shore telling the story of what had occurred. And it's just brutal. I mean, it's the same thing, again, as you say, that we're seeing in Palestine and so many places in the world where, well, here with ICE, where people are treated less than human, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, whatever we want to say about how things should be and whatever laws we want to have, but the treatment of people, it was just a lot to take in again. But, you know, I'm not afraid to take in history. A lot of people don't want to hear it. A lot of people say, oh, I wasn't there. Don't shame me. Well, okay. You don't have to be ashamed, but you don't have to use the name Black Hawk. You've stolen the land and now you steal the name. You know, I don't think that that's, if there is such a thing as karma, which I'm not necessarily a believer, but if there is, this is bad karma. You know, what we've done here, what we've done, and we can see the fruit of it. It's a lot of you know, a lot of unhappiness in a land of so much plenty. You know?
Going back to what you said about ICE, Indigenous people, these borders did not exist for us in the ways that were imposed on us now. So that's another thing of saying, you know, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't go to your homelands because of, you know, whatever they say. We know as Indigenous people kind of like the code of Mother Earth, you know, and it was here before their arrival. So I think that's another point, a point to just reflect on, is there's like an inherent freedom that we all have as beings of this earth, and anything that tries to tell us otherwise is just false. It's false. And I think even trying to use their frame, and that's even why, you know, the Treaty of St. Louis, and there's all these details you can look at, and then you can just see, well, they do it everywhere. And Black Hawk has a quote, how smooth must be the language of the whites when they can make right look like wrong and wrong like right. And that's in his autobiography, and people can read that. And I think it's very applicable to this day. And I think it just, it reminds me of another book I'm really, I really enjoyed reading by Muhammad Al-Kurd. It was called Perfect Victims. And I think we can kind of see that, like, Indigenous ethic there of, you know, I'm not going to use your frame.
Right. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because it's so easy. It's so easy to fall into just, you know, oh yeah, the black, that's why I brought opened with what I did about Pennsylvania. You know, that's because what? The Pinkertons? You know, we now we have current day Pinkertons. They're called ICE,
Yeah.
and we just glibly accept. And in the process of accepting this inhumanity, we're losing ours. And when I talked to you, it was really profound because, there's an age difference here between us. And I was so thrilled to see a young person taking this on and willing to share in a human way, not like, oh, you guys should really feel shame for this. You're not doing that. You're saying this is the history. Let's change it. Let's not allow it to keep happening. And I think that's profound.
Right. And I think it's just the truth. So if people feel shame, that's not our responsibility. We might have to feel that, and then we have to move through it, and shame might be necessary. If we really look at a story like the Massacre at Bad Axe, we're gonna feel something about ourselves if we have ancestors that maybe took part in this, or took part in the forced removal of another indigenous peoples, or even just the fact of anybody being here in Wisconsin. That's only possible because Native people have been removed from this exact place where we are. So, I think it's just necessary to face the truth. Acknowledge those feelings, and then you have to move through them. You have to take action. It's not productive for anybody to stay in that space. But you're going to feel uncomfortable.
Great. Be comfortable with being uncomfortable for a change. That was another thing I learned from the things you sent me was that Abraham Lincoln was a captain in the Illinois military and was present for that massacre. And that he actually benefited and launched his presidential campaign from it. And it explains a lot about his future decisions towards Native people. And that's all, it's like you want to have somebody be your hero, Berg address, a beautiful, he was a great orator, he said wonderful things. And he did participate in freeing people. But at the same time, and we need to look at that. We need to look at the duality that we keep needing to emerge from, and not succumb to it. I feel very blessed to live on this land and to be here for now 25 years and to be caring for it and trying to learn from it. Because that was what I was, it was told to me by my Navajo mentor. She said, let the land teach you. And it's been true. And I think, sometimes I think, boy, if we had had that perspective when the first people landed, not the first people, but the people who came from Europe, if they had landed with an openness to learn from indigenous people instead of this sense of we need to eradicate, we need to steal the land, we need to, whatever. It's just such a totally, and I think there's still time. There's still
There
time.
is time. There is time. And that's a really important point. It really is, because I think people feel stuck in a role. And then we don't have change. And people hear, non-Native people hear Indigenous stories, well, really their own stories, and they can't sit with that. So I just say, that's not who I am. Oftentimes I hear, this is not who we are. And I hear that. But it's not the truth. We have to say, that is who we are. And I'm talking about the descendants of settlers and descendants of colonizers, people have to be willing to say, that's who we've been. It doesn't mean it's who you are in the future, but we can't continue to participate in the erasure of our histories and the erasure of what we've done, and then lead it in any different kind of way. Like, that is not going to be liberation.
Right.
That will head us straight towards a select group of people being liberated in some way and leaving the rest of people behind that have always been behind. So that when I hear that, it's problematic to me, because I hear a lot of these slogans and I know people mean well, they really do. And they want to believe something simple. And that really stops us from going on a different road. We're going to stay on the same road if we speak from a colonial point of view. And if that's where our actions come from, where our liberation comes from, we're heading down the same path. And we're going backwards. We're walking backwards. Asha will say, we need to walk a different way.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And again, the sense of hopefulness and the sense of humanity that you bring to this understanding is incredible.
You
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've had a little more time to crawl out of the bull stuff. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy for the wisdom that has been shared with me and the kindness that has been shared with me by all sorts of people who were different from me. You know, I think that the tapestry of what a human being is in the collection of human beings is so beautiful. And speaking of beautiful tapestry, we have to talk about your art. Yeah, you have a really, you know, beautiful website that explain it, please, because it where you learned and, you know, it's important.
Thank you for that. I started being an artist, or calling myself an artist, after my Grandma Margie, passed away. And I had always grown up around art and women artists, and it was normal, but I didn't think that would be me. And it was in that loss that a lot of connection came, because you see these things. I would sit by my grandmother and she's sewing and she's making her shawls, or she's making these traditional outfits. And it was just a normal day for me when I was visiting her. And I didn't realize until later now how much perseverance you have to have, how much dedication you have to something that is threatened and people say is near death. People say these are lost arts. And I didn't know that what she was doing at the time was radical. And through learning that, I think that's a practice for me of, like, every time I sit down and sew, every time I sit down and bead, I'm reclaiming something and I'm saying, you didn't take this away. You know, well, it started with the beadwork and the family heirlooms that I was left when she passed away. And her closest relatives decided to pass that to me. And I just received in the mailbox, I just got a shoebox full of all this beadwork. And I just touched the beads and felt them all. And I smelled the buckskin and the deer hide. And it just took me back to those days sitting with her and, you know, sitting in silence. I didn't ask her questions. And that's the sock way. And I just watched, and I had to learn on my own. I had to start learning on my own. But once I took that step, I found that all this knowledge was there waiting for me, and they were waiting for me to discover it. They weren't going to force me to learn the culture. It's up to people to be interested on their own, and that really is a big part of our culture, is you have to take the initiative. And even I think the story of Bad Axe, we all have to take the initiative. It's not going to tell itself. So we have to be interested. No one's going to tell us to be interested. And I think the story has been told in a different way. And that's fine. That's fine with a lot of people because they don't know. But once you start to just get a little bit curious, there's just so much waiting for you. There's a wealth of knowledge that's just gonna pour out. And I think I'm really grateful because I discovered all this writing that my grandma had, how to make this dress, how to do this. And my aunt, she said her aunt, Mabel Harris, the Sack and Fox, taught her these designs that were passed from generations in the family. And I didn't know about them. I didn't know about them when I was young. I didn't know how much it took for me to be wearing those designs today. So I think it's like we have to decide to remember something, decide to pass it on, decide that it's worthy.
Amen, girl. I am 100% in agreement with you because I was raised very much my first few years of life from my grandmother. She only spoke Italian. She fed me from the garden, so I learned about that. She kept chickens, so I learned about that. And she baked bread in an outdoor oven, so I learned about that. And that stayed with me. And I was, becoming who I thought I was supposed to be, it never left me. And I'm so grateful for that, and all the meanderings of my life where I get to remember,
Absolutely.
it's really great. So I want to tell people about your website. It's SAC and Fox, FOX Designs.com. So SackandFoxDesigns.com. And I highly recommend that you check it out. Her wearable art and remembrances that are sewn into it. Her story, the story of her people. So you're Oklahoma band, but there's also a band in Iowa and Kansas as well, correct?
Yes. So the band in Oklahoma, the Thaki Waki Yellow Earth People, I'm an enrolled tribal member there, and the Meskwaki Nation is located in Iowa. And they actually, one thing to know about the Meskwaki, and they would be the fox part of Sac and Fox, although they don't go by fox. They purchased their land. They do not live on a reservation, and that's something for people to know about them. They're very proud of that story. They're very proud of that history there. And someone I would recommend to look up would be Jonathan Buffalo, a tribal historian with Meskwaki Nation. If you're interested in learning more about that story, that's someone who has shared that story, and I think there would be YouTube interviews there, and
Jonathan Buffalo. Is that
yeah,
okay? Just wanted to repeat it.
correct. And then there's the Kansas band of Sack and Fox tribal members, and I don't have as much knowledge of them and their specific stories, but you could definitely look them up as well. And they would have their tribal history on their website. So there's three federally recognized bands of Sac and Fox, otherwise known as Sauk and Meskwaki people.
I'll work on that. Socking was, I'll work on it. And in
Oh,
case someone's, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. You go.
I just wanted to say, in case someone's just tuning in, this is Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles, and my guest today is Iris Roan, who is a Sauk and Fox artist and an enrolled tribal member of the Sauk and Fox Nation. This is an incredible conversation in my mind. As a younger person, she's really taking on the remembrance of her people and telling the story as it is understood by her people, about the colonization and the theft, quite frankly, the theft of land, although she wasn't using that word. And she's an incredibly talented bead worker, moccasin maker, ribbon worker, and Sauk language speaker. And she lives here. She lives here. So look her up. Look her up and learn. Don't be afraid. She's not scary. Not as scary as I am, anyway, I don't think. But anyway. So what else we, should we care, cover?
I guess it would be important to give a little context. I don't know if I shared Black Hawk's reason for his return to the homelands of Sakinak. They had been forcefully removed from their homelands, and they were starving, and they had been promised rations that they never received in Iowa. And there were so many women and children dying of starvation, so much, and I will just say, very respected members of the tribe are the vulnerable, what people would call the vulnerable, the women and the children and the elders, and I just want to emphasize that. And I'm not referring to them as vulnerable, but I just want to place that emphasis there. So he really had that value system of looking out for his people and the people that he knew had less power, and less and more to pass on, as being women, children, elders. He valued that, and he made a sacrifice for them. And he knew that it was a risk crossing, going through all this journey to try to let them survive. And that was the goal. And they wanted to plant their corn. They wanted to plant the corn so they could eat, so they could live without knowing the future of what they would even have. Would they even have any land? Would they even be able to live as Sauk people, as Indian people? And what would that ever be? They didn't know. But what he did know is they deserved a chance to live.
Of
So
course.
I think that would be, if there's anything to take away from Black Hawk, I would just want people to know who he was. He was a fighter, but he loved his people. He loved the land. And when he made that journey, he made the ultimate sacrifice for his people. And we as Sauk and Meskwaki people, we will forever be grateful for that. And it didn't matter what the result was, his courage is remembered and it's carried in all of us. So that's, I just wanted to say that last little piece.
No, it's so important to honor.
Thank
Really
you.
important. I know there's a giant statue of him, but yeah, to come, and that came across in the video as well as his descendants. People said, some of us made it. Those of us who made it, we owe it to remember and to live well. And yeah, it's an important story, and especially given today. Especially given today, because we need to do more than survive. We need to flourish. We need humanity to return. We need caring for the earth to return, and I believe that many people, there are many people who are taking that upon themselves, and you're one of them. And it's an honor to chat with you, my friend. And I hope you have many more of these little conversations. But you're doing good work. I'm glad you reached out, because I didn't know you were living here. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful opportunity. You're helping me fulfill my dream to change the narrative. That's the name of this show, Change the Narrative. The only way we're going to change the narrative is if you allow people to speak the narrative, speak their truth, speak their histories, and listen. And listen. That's the other part. Escuchen, listen. So that we don't keep making the same mistakes, folks. So I guess this is a wonderful way to wrap it up. Honoring Black Hawk, honoring your people, honoring your work, your beadwork, your truth telling. And you want to remind people again your website?
SacandFoxDesigns.com, SAC and FOX.com. Oh,
Right.
sorry, my bad. Designs. SacandFoxDesigns.com. Kachepi, I'm so grateful to you, Dina. Thank you for having this conversation with me and sharing all that you shared and being so open.
Yeah, I've learned from the best, and I love hearing from the best. It's really wonderful. I'm so happy right now. I can't tell you, to have this conversation. All right, so people, look her up. Go to the Historical Society. It's a beautiful building in Viroqua. Has a lot of good things. I learned about how old my house is there on a map. Really old. So old, still standing. But yeah, go and learn. Take time to learn, and don't just repeat the stories that you were told by John Wayne on television. Okay, this is it. We'll call it a wrap. And thanks to WDRT for allowing us to have these conversations. And thanks to all of you who are listening.
Mama domene bena geshimane do ya na he yo do ya na he ne ya na he yo do ya na he yo do ya na he ne yo ya na he yo do ya na he yo do ya na he ne ya na he yo do Ya na he ne ne ya na he yo we no Ya na he ne ne ya na he yo we no Ya na he yo we no Ya na he yo we no Ya na he ne ne ya na he yo we no Ya na he yo we no ya na he ne yo wa Ye mama to mene bena geshimane do ya na he yo we do ya na he ne ne ya na he yo we do ya na he yo we do ya na he ne yo wa ya na he yo we do ya na he yo we do ya na he ne ne ya na he yo we do Domene bena geshimane do ya na he yo we do ya na he ne ya na he yo we do ya na he yo we do ya na he ne yo wa ya na he yo we do ya na he yo we do ya na he ne ya na he yo we do
This is Dina Eccles of the Changing the Narrative podcast with a bit more to consider on the legacy of the Sauk and Fox people and of the warrior we know as Black Hawk. As I have learned in my brief exploration of that time in history, this adage remains true. History is written by the victors. Over centuries, the victors have told lies and half-truths about the colonization of indigenous people. We have been intentionally kept from the starvations, imprisonments, broken treaties, child abductions, and outright theft of land. We have, through movies, books, and political schemes, been told to believe in the stories of savages and of indigenous inferiority. These lies, however convenient, have cost us greatly. They have glorified the conqueror, in this case, the white man. And the result has been to numb us to the ongoing onslaughts of colonization as we have participated in the world over. But more significantly, it has kept us from embracing the wisdom of the people who were here long before Europeans touched the shores of Turtle Island. None of this is new to the history of humankind, but given all that we know now, given the strength of survivors and the perseverance of truth-tellers, we now have the possibility to restore humanity through our stories. We cannot change the past, but we can alter the outcomes of the future, and the future is manifesting now. My time with Iris touched me deeply. For someone so young to carry such wisdom is a gift. She's a gift to and from her people and to us. When we first met, Iris impressed me with her concerns, not simply for the stories of the Sauk and Fox to be retold with respect and with the acknowledgement of her people, but also her concerns for the Palestinian people and all who suffer conquest and slaughter for resources and greed. The first order will always be to check our own thinking, to recognize when we are parroting what we have been told, and to make the effort to discover what is really true for us. The second order, if we choose, is to help correct the misguided. We do this for all of us, for when one of us is harmed or lessened in some way, we are all harmed. Perhaps an acknowledgement of the senseless loss of life is in order. August 2nd is the recognized anniversary of the Bad Axe massacre. Perhaps the new mayor would be willing to write a proclamation for that day, one that could help us inch closer to the healing so desperately needed. From Iris, I have come to learn there is a mural in the Viroqua post office which depicts Sac and Fox men stealing cavalry horses. And in her words, I quote, "This creates a different sort of local memory of the Black Hawk War, in which our people are depicted as the perpetrators, playing into the native savage trope." The statement makes no mention of the attempted ethnic cleansing and forced removal of the Sac and Fox people. "Only speaking for myself," she wrote, "it's an image of our people that doesn't feel respectful, especially with the lack of local awareness on the true story. Without telling others how to feel, maybe there's an invitation for people to reflect on that image." "I've often wondered," Iris continued, "what it would look like to acknowledge the Sac and Fox people locally in a new way and with respect. I'm grateful that this is a start." End of her quote. And I'm grateful for WDRT and all the support that has been given to allow this podcast, Changing the Narrative, to be heard by you, dear listeners. May humanity finally come to terms with the peace that is not only possible, but holds us through all of our misgivings and mistakes. May the invitation to reconsider and reflect on the stories we have been told be received in the spirit it was given. Be well, and thanks for listening.
Gemamato mena kai geshmanito
veyaniya
ahovane na hovane ana hene yova gemamato mena kai geshmanito
veyaniya
ahovane na hovane ana hene ahovane na hovane ana hene ahovane na hovane ana hene Gema matomena gege shemanido weyane yana ahowene na hovene yana hene yowam ahowene na hovene yana hene Gema matomena gege shemanido weyane yana ahowene na hovene yana hene yowam Yamama tomina ke gishimanito
weyaniya
ahowene na hovene yana hene yowam Yamama tomina ke gishimanito
weyaniya
ahowene na hovene yana hene ahowene na hovene yana hene ahowene na hovene yana hene Gema matomena gege shimanito weyane yana ahowene na hovene yana hene yowam ahowene na hovene yana hene Gema matomena gege shimanito weyane yana ahowene na hovene yana hene yowam Gema matomena gege shimanito
weyane yana
ahowene na hovene yana hene yowam Gema matomena gege shimanito
weyane yana
ahowene na hovene yana hene ahowene na hovene yana hene ahowene na hovene yana hene Gema matomena gege shimanito weyane yana ahowene na hovene yana hene yowam ahowene na hovene yana hene Gema mato mena ke gishimani do huyani yana ahoweni na huweni hiyana hini yuwam. Gema mato mena ke gishimani do huyani yana ahoweni na huweni hiyana hini yuwam. Gema mato mena ke gishimani do huyani yana ahoweni na huweni hiyana hini. Ahoweni na ahoweni hiyana hini. Ahoweni na ahoweni hiyana hini. Gema mato mena ke gishimani do huyani yana ahoweni na ahoweni hiyana hini yuwam. Ahoweni na ahoweni hiyana hini. Gema mato mena ke gishimani do huyani yana ahoweni na ahoweni hiyana hini yuwam.